This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Who or what fell on who or what? Vince Neil was hospitalized Friday night in Tennessee after slipping off the side of a stage during a performance. The audience at the Monsters on the Mountain Festival in Pigeon Forge were told the singer broke ribs. Well, there's been no medical report yet. The Motley Crue frontman was performing with his own band. He was singing a Crue song, Don't Go Away Mad, Just Go Away. Neil had stepped to the front of the stage to get the audience clapping along when he fell. The band's bass player, Dana Strum, as you noted yesterday, Steve, on all the bands he's been with, addressed the crowd saying the truth is Vince fell, broke his ribs when he fell, he can't breathe, and he's going to get dealt with medically. Vince, who is 60, was helped away, then taken by ambulance to the hospital. The band did play on, urging the crowd to sing along loud enough to the Motley Crue songs that were finishing the set, Live Wire and a few others. Neil hasn't performed, they say, with Motley Crue since 2015, though he's scheduled to begin a tour with the band and Def Leppard in June. So he's still got some time.
Oh, the one from last year, right?
Yeah, to heal up. Our question, who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Ronnie. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, boys.
Hola.
Well, when I was in high school, I was doing gym class, and I was doing the uneven bars. I was a gymnast, and I hit the mat. They had them overlapping, and I fell into the uneven bars and cut my brain.
You cut your brain?
I cut my brain, and I couldn't walk or talk or anything. I had to relearn how to do everything.
How long did that process take?
I've been disabled ever since.
Damn. And how old were you when this happened?
I was 15.
Okay.
I work now because I drive for DoorDash, but when I'm sick and I can't get out of bed, I don't have to go to work, so I finally found a job I could do. But yeah, I've been disabled forever.
What is the hardest thing for you to do now?
Walk.
So just the walking itself is difficult. All right.
Yeah. I get really tired, and my muscles. Do you ever have like a Charlie horse?
Yeah, of course.
All of my muscles cramp up like that.
Ooh, God and damn.
It's really painful.
Okay, it sounds painful, and this is the result of cutting your brain.
Yeah, I cut into my brain. It's from hitting my head on the uneven bars.
So how much stuff was still in your brain as far as what you could retain? You know, the worst thing that I could ever think in my life is the fact that I would have to start from square one at school again.
Right.
And go through that process and relearn it.
Well, I had to quit school because my teachers were making fun of me because I walked funny.
Your teachers were making fun of you.
Yeah. So I had to quit school. I went to college. But I had to relearn everything.
What kind of piece of crap school did you go to where you fall and you...
Terrible one.
Where? I mean, seriously. What school did you go to?
State York. It was in a little town in State York. But the nurse was giving a CPR class, so I couldn't even go to the nurse. So my friend carried me, put me on a school bus with a brain injury, took me home, carried me up the hill to my house, and my parents finally took me to the hospital.
So, are you able to talk at this time, or how does this work?
You'd never know there was anything wrong with me.
No, I don't mean right now. I mean, when you hit the uneven bars and your friends put you on the school bus.
No, I didn't even know where I was.
Jesus.
How long were you in the hospital?
Months.
Okay.
It took six from March to November to get a diagnosis.
Okay, so so I'm your dad, all right? I walk into the hospital. Do you know who I am?
I knew what was around me, but I didn't know, I couldn't remember my childhood. I couldn't remember anything like that.
And are those memories forever gone, or do you still have some of those?
I have very few, very few.
Okay.
I hope they're good ones.
Do you have any memory problems now? Like remembering where you put your car keys or, you know, someone's name? I mean, typically that's anybody. But, I mean, is there anything that's harder for you?
When I get tired and, like, I try to live without any stress in my life, which...
We all do.
I don't care about anything very much, so I don't stress out about stuff. But when I'm stressed out or tired, then I have a lot of memory problems and I have trouble walking and my arms cramp up and stuff.
Do you have someone that you live with that can help you?
I take care of my parents right now.
Oh, they you're taking care of them. You're there.
They're in good hands. I can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
No, actually, I was able to find a medication that works. And as long as I take the medicine, you'd never know anything was wrong with me.
Okay. So you don't have to continue to do physical therapy or anything like that?
No. Not for that. No. I actually went back and did gymnastics again when I moved out here when I was 21.
Wow.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just get trouble walking. Like, gymnastics would seem very hard.
I would think so, too.
It was. But, you know what? It was, like, the biggest goal I ever had. So.
Okay. I got you.
I just try not to let obstacles stop me, and that was just not going to stop me. So
okay, all right,
good for you. I'd have been like, I'm not doing that ass again.
Hell no,
no,
no.
Yeah.
If that happens to me, no way.
You cut your brain, like you literally cut your brain. I've never even heard of such a thing.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421 Rock.
I mean, I've hung brain before, but never cut. A little different. Hello, Keith. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, fellas.
Hola.
How are you guys today?
We're doing great, man.
Awesome. Love it. So, I was at work on Saturday. I worked for a beverage distributor, and I was at a store, and I was down on my knees putting product on the shelf while my trainee was standing next to me. And all of a sudden, I felt this thud, and I got knocked out for a couple of seconds. And I, like, lifted up, and I was, like, leaning on the product that was on the ground that I was loading. I'm like, what the hell was that? I was like, seriously, what the hell was that? It was like instant headache, everything. A 4.5-pound bag of sugar from about 6 feet, top shelf in the grocery store, about 6 feet, 6.5 feet up, fell down and hit me right in the back of the head.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I find that funny.
I find it funny too. I like my girl thinks I'm like clumsy. But I'm like, babe, things like this happen to me. It's just my luck in life. And so I texted her. I'm like, add another one to the book, baby. I just got my butt kicked by a bag of flour.
A bag of flour. It probably just toppled over for whatever reason when you were stocking, man. It just knocked you right in the back of the head.
Dude, yeah. And then I was like, my trainee was like, are you all right, dude? Are you all right? I'm like, dude, what the hell was that? He hands me this bag of flour. He's like, this? And I'm like, could you not have caught that? You know, like, mm-hmm. What the hell, man?
I could, but you didn't train me to do that yet.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421 Rock. That's a bizarre one.
I don't know why that made me giggle. Like, I don't want to laugh at the guy, but somehow that was funny.
But you know it's going to hurt.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, if you pick up a five-pound bag of flour, it doesn't feel
tightly
like
packed. You know what I mean?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's a... Sorry.
Yeah, I was giggling too.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever know, like, I knew some girls who went to an all-girls school.
Sure.
And they had, like, a thing where they had to carry around a thing of flour like it was a baby.
Yeah, I've heard of that dumb stuff. I'm like, look, man, what do you think you're training someone? A bag of flour and a baby are so very... Right, but it's like, dude, these are not... The bag of flour does not cry. The bag of flour is not covered in feces an hour after you change it. It's right. Like, it's just a bag of flour.
Not only that, but it was only the girls who had to carry around the egg. It's like, it's a 50-50 deal, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to find a guy that's willing, we're going to partner you up with, and both of you need to take care of this thing. You know what I mean? Not just one.
That's to me, it was only if you drop the egg, get another egg. They don't know.
Well, yeah. If you drop the baby, get another baby.
Yeah, exactly. Same thing. You drop the kids, get another one.
They can fight.
They're fine.
I feel like the flour is safer, though. Because flour goes into like a recipe.
Yeah.
Whereas if I just have one egg, eventually be like, screw it. I'm cooking it.
Yeah, exactly. What did you do? I ate my baby.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421 run.
I'm like a lion.
Hello, Doc. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up?
Hola.
Hey, I don't know if y'all remember me, but I'm a truck driver, and the story I got is that my mechanic had a truck, an 18-wheeler, just a tractor, fall on his chest.
Oh!
And what happened was they had it on jack stands and it came off and the tranny fell on his chest and crushed him and it caused him to have a heart attack. And they got the truck up, got him out from underneath there, called the ambulance, got him to the hospital. He coded a couple of times on the table. They brought him back and then he was in a coma for like 2 weeks. And he came out of the coma and everything was good.
Wow.
He said he said that his chest hurt.
I bet
and
it
I
did.
Said, I'm sure it did. Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah. and he stopped being a mechanic, but he became a driver for us. And then that lasted about a year, but then he stopped. But I told him, I said, man, you need to write a book because I don't know of anybody that has survived anything like that. So
no,
that was quite the deal.
So when the tranny fell out, then the whole rig fell on top of him as well?
Yes, the whole front end, yes.
God, yeah. Damn.
Man, oh man.
And that's probably about, I would say, at least 12 to 15,000 pounds, because usually a tractor weighs about anywhere between 18 and 20. So, I'd say at least 15 of that was on his chest. And
Was he conscious the whole time?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
He was not. But he said he felt it when it hit.
I bet.
And I'm not laughing at that. I'm just saying, when he tells the story, it is kind of funny, the way he tells it, because it's his experience. But I was like, man, just write a book, man, and make you millions that way, man.
What's more dangerous, being an 18-wheeler mechanic or hooking up with a lot lizard?
Flip a coin. Bitty, bitty.
All right. About the same weight sometimes.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421 rock.
I like that he's like 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. Hello, Rebus. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys.
Hola. Hola.
So I'm kind of famous for two things. One is that I have zero fear of heights. My dad was actually a window washer, and I went with him a few times, and I've climbed 60-foot ladders and stuff, and so he has no fear of heights. I don't. My kids don't. We're just careful around them, because we respect them. And the other thing is that I have the absolute worst luck in the world. And my family actually calls me cursed. And so I was down in Jamaica about 25 years ago. And I had I saw that there was this bar that had cliff diving into the ocean.
Next.
And I thought, okay.
Next, that's where I did it. I had no problem jumping in water. Yeah, next is great.
So you're scared of heights, but you jumped off of a goddamn cliff.
All the time.
See,
like
this
six,
makes
seven
no
times.
Sense
that makes,
to
right,
me.
It doesn't
I,
add up.
I can jump into water.
It is a cliff. I know it's water. I get it. But it's still a cliff is mm-hmm. the problem.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. It's about a 60-foot drop. Mm-hmm. And so I went up there and my friends all thought I was crazy. It's like, look, I've done cliff driving before. It's no big deal. And so I jumped in, landed fine, got out, climbed back up, and I was going to do it again. Well, when I got to the top, there was this drunk lady, and she was asking me all these questions because she thought it looked amazing. And so I go in and I jump in a second time and I hit the water, come up, and I suddenly see there's this shadow getting huger right above my head. And I dive out of the way clawed at the water to get out of the way of this lady. She had just jumped in like the second I went in and she ends up clipping me in the legs, goes underwater, hits the water hard, knocks herself unconscious.
Oh God.
I ended up having to grab her, get her in the, I've never done any kind of lifeguard stuff before, but I got her around the neck because I know that, that's how you're supposed to tow somebody in and so they won't fight you. And I got her over to the edge, the cliff's edge, got her up onto the rocks, waited until she woke up, and then I had to help drag her all the way back.
Yeah, there's a wrought iron ladder down there. It's not easy to climb out of. And the other thing,
especially carrying a lady.
No, the other thing is,
how big was this lady?
She was slim, but she was like
wet, dead weight, right?
Exactly, absolute dead weight because she was unconscious.
You know? I think the hardest thing about that stuff is that where you push off, it's a rock ledge. And that rock gets wet. So when the rock gets wet, and you're barefoot.
And sharp.
So when you're trying to just push off and get a grip in with your toes just to make sure you clear everything, it's just, do I have a good enough footing to be able to leap without slipping?
It's not a problem I'm ever going to have.
Yeah.
Unless I'm being chased by some animal where it's like, I'm going to jump in the water.
My experience was this. I did it like 3 or 4 times. And there's a guy at the top, and he works at Nick's. So normally that woman would not have gone. Like, they're like, okay, wait for him to get to the side, or they let you know, then now you can jump. So the guy holds me up.
There was nobody there. No, it was just, it was just jump at your own risk. And she just thought it was a good idea.
Because
by the time
drunk.
I got her to the top. Thank you, no nothing.
Yeah, I mean, well, I was going to ask, when she came to, was she apologetic? Did she acknowledge anything you'd done for her?
No, nothing.
That's insane.
She thought it was amazing. That was what she said.
Well, the guy put his arm in front of me and he said, you got to wait for a second. And I was like, all right, I'll wait for a second. And I wasn't really paying attention because I had like a beer up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Everything else. And I'm like, he's looking down. I'm like, man, it's clear. Let's go. And he's like, no. And he points. And there's this huge ass shark swimming in the cove. So he's like, just wait.
No problem.
And then the shark disappears. But it doesn't like disappear where you could see it. It's just like it's there and it went down deeper or whatever. He's like, okay, you can go now.
I was like, no.
I'm gonna take 10. I'm gonna go back to the bar for a little bit, drink, and then I'll come back. You know what I mean? Like I'm not.
Did you go back and do it?
I did later. I just didn't do it.
No, I think you did. You made the right call.
Just give this guy.
I just don't know that I'm jumping off a cliff at a bar into shark infested water.
No. Once I see the shark, I know sharks live in the ocean, but once I see it,
right.
By the way, is it Rick's? Someone here says it's Rick's, not Nick's in Jamaica.
Maybe it is Rick's. Yeah, it is Rick's.
It is Rick's.
That's the name of it. Yeah.
I mean, I guess you're right, though, because like last time I was swimming in the Atlantic Ocean, like there was no lifeguards. We were just like, let's go swimming.
Sure. And most of the time I get in the ocean, there's no lifeguard. Or if there is, they're so far away. I mean, they're not going to do anything, right? But if you say there's a shark, like I just saw a shark in the water, I'm out. There's no doubt about it. I remember being in the Bahamas. There was a newlywed couple down there, right? And so they're swimming in the water, and somebody just yelled shark. I never saw it myself. I have no idea. But somebody yelled shark. They seemed pretty serious. So everyone's getting out of the water. And I remember just watching this one guy. He's maybe knee-deep in the water, and at this point, he is just hoofing it back to the beach. He's running fast enough that his wet-ass trunks come down, right? So he's just hanging brain. He's running. Like, dives into the sand, and like I understood, because right, shark, I'm like 14, 15 years old. About 35 seconds later, is his very angry wife now getting out of the water. That was the first time I did not know the couples, well, in this case, the wife could get that angry. I mean, she was livid. Apparently, once they said shark, he just left her ass out in the water.
Yeah, obviously.
Because they've been like swimming out there together. I didn't see anything except the guy getting on the beach and then this real pissed off woman getting out, and I mean just beeline for him, man, and all kinds of expletives coming out. My brother's like, I think you left her in the water. I'm like, you think?
Mm-hmm.
Mother effer, you left me out there. And he's just like, I heard shark. I'm like, I get both sides.
Yeah.
I know why she's mad, but I know why he hoofed it back to the beach, man.
I get his part too, but I've only been in like that situation once or twice, and it's awful. Like, you're at a cabin, there's a noise outside, and it's like, Yeah, I'll go look at it.
Well, it's like,
right? But like, I would be like, I'm scared too.
I don't want to do it, man.
Right? Look, like, you could be a damn bear.
I make a real easy statement, and this is true. Look, I will try to help you, but if it's a shark or a chimpanzee, no offense, you're on your own. There's nothing I can do for you. You're just going to have to die or fight.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
99.9 KISW. The men's room is in progress.
Our question, who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
Oh, let's say hello to Trent. Hello, Trent. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
What's up, guys?
How are you, sir?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. So my story is my previous job, I was actually an exterminator. It was an interesting job, but I was in an attic of a very nice house, multi-million-dollar house. And while I was up there, I ended up tripping and falling through their ceiling into their living room while they were watching TV with their kids, broke a side table, hit the hardwood floor, and got back up and was like, "Ah, well, it looks good up there."
I mean,
but you bounced right back up, huh?
Yeah, surprisingly, I bruised up pretty bad. Hitting the hardwood floor left a nice dent on my side. But
what was the what was the family's reaction to you dropping out of the ceiling and into a side table?
The husband freaked out. The wife was like, "Oh my god, he just Griswolded our ceiling."
Griswolded. Yeah. How high were the ceilings?
It was actually 12 feet.
I was going to say.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it was a good amount. I was surprised that I didn't actually break anything or, you know, on myself anyway.
What were you up there for, like a bee's nest?
No, rats, actually. We set up traps up there and check them every once in a while. And I was up there and took a wrong step and fell right through.
Damn. And so I guess your company pays for all the repair costs for the drywall and everything else, the table?
They did. It came out to about, I think it said $6,000.
Wow.
Damn. Do you get a talking to for that, or is it just like it's understood that this might happen?
Yeah, there was never really any formal training before that. And then afterwards that week, they kind of decided to go over everything when you're walking in an attic.
Hey, I had a guy from a roofing company, man, come over to give me an estimate. He was up on top of the roof. I looked, turned around for a minute, looked back, and he was gone. He was gone. And he was straight down into the crawl space above the roof. I mean, it was like, and that, the good news about, okay, so I didn't really think about it, but at the time, so I want to get this roof put on the house. Obviously, the sheathing needed to be replaced.
You don't say.
He went right through it. You know, everything needed to be replaced in this. But the...
Did you say, like, yeah, it's a trouble spot?
Well, the project date he had down for us at the time was like, it was going to be 5 weeks, 6 weeks, right?
Right.
Well, as soon as he put this gigantic hole from his body in the roof, man, like, they had somebody over there, like, in 2 days starting to rip the whole roof off. You know what I mean? So, like, it expedited the process a little bit.
You're like, yes.
Yeah, and he split like a 2x4, 2x6 when he landed right between his legs.
Oh!
Yeah, and both his feet went through the drywall. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he was just kind of sitting there. And I'm relatively new to the home.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly sure where the ladder is to pop down because we hadn't even really moved into the house
yet. Yeah, yeah.
So I run into the house, man. I'm looking around and I look up, man, and I finally found that ladder that you pulled down. But it was a longer house. You helped me move out of it.
So he, I mean, like, I had to figure out where in the hell he was. And there's no light up there. There's no light switch.
Is he moaning or what is he doing?
It's dark as hell. I can't see. So then I grab a flashlight and I go, and there was no walking plywood. So, you know, like, I'm basically walking on beams over top of insulation trying to get to his ass, man. And he was, he definitely had a bruised tailbone. I couldn't believe it. I looked up and he was like, and you really couldn't even see the hole. It was like the hole almost self-closed.
Right.
With the shingles. You know what I'm saying? Like, the shingles stayed intact. They stayed together. But the sheathing underneath it completely gave way.
So was it just his legs hanging out of there, basically?
Well, he was gone from the top of the roof. Like, if you were out looking on the outside, he's not there.
Right.
He is in he's in the crawl space attic. Now, if you were to go in my living room, you could see his boots and his jeans and the dust on the floor from him from popping through. Yeah. Good times. Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room. Hello, Mike.
Hola, bitches.
Hola.
Hola. Hey, I'm still picturing the feet sticking out the ceiling here. Okay.
Yeah, it's like Santa missed his mark.
Right.
Yeah, you talk about that one fall through a ceiling. I got one, but I'll go with the story that I told Mike because I don't want him to throw a chair or anything.
Thank you.
There you go.
Anyways. All right, on the weekend, we would do these plaster jobs, and one of my buddies that I worked with during the week was doing some wiring out in another room. We're back in the other room, and we hear this crash, and this other guy that was out there doing work says, hey, you might want to come out here, and I come out, and I look, and I see my buddy John sitting on the floor. And he's looking at his wrist, and he's like, holy F, I just broke my wrist. And I'm looking at both his wrists, and I'm like, oh, my God, he broke both of his wrists. He came down face first out of a, you know, a false beam. It's basically like it was 2x6 with a hollow in the middle, nothing on top. He's running the wiring through there. He tripped, came down, tried to catch himself face first, and snapped both of his wrists.
How far do you think he fell?
About 10 feet.
Okay.
That's all you need.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah, I took him to the hospital, and we have our prerequisite when we do our plaster jobs on the weekend that we have to have enough beer to make it through the weekend. So we've got ice and everything, and we've got buckets. So I stuck him in the truck, put his hands in there, put some ice around it. And then drove to the hospital. It's like a half-hour trip. I made it about 20 minutes in the rain and got him in there. And I said, well, now you're going to find out how much your wife loves you because somebody's going to wipe your butt for you.
Someone's going to feed you everything.
Yeah, I was trying to make him, you know, feel a little bit better because he was in bad pain, man, really bad pain.
Yeah, breaking the wrist sucks. I've been there.
But he's like, it's funny because it's funny now because he looks down and he goes, oh, I broke my wrist, and he looked over at the other one. Oh, he let us scream the holy F, you know, like, oh, my God. So, yeah.
Were his hands at a weird angle, or was he just in pain?
No, he was trying to catch himself. He realized that he was going down, and he tried to slow himself down a little bit, and which is a normal reaction. You know, we work up high all the time. I don't have a problem with altitude. It doesn't bother me. And, hey, Miles, real quick, you're from West Virginia now. I lived about 30 years West PA, a Butler guy. Anyway, so you go to the old strip mines, right? You jumped off the old strip mines into the ponds and stuff before, haven't
you? Oh, no. You don't want to go in that water. You do not want to. It's all sulfur and basically acid.
Yeah.
And it's you're not supposed to. There's a reason there's no vegetation. There's a reason there's no fish. There's a reason that it's got a blue hue to it. Wildlife doesn't really grow.
No, there are some in Western PA that they used to jump off of. One was 30 foot, another one was about 50 foot. You had to run to make the end of it, like you were talking about before, so you clear the rocks below. But the water was clear.
You know, we didn't have anything
that. There were fish in there. There were big ass bass.
Yeah, I think Western PA was a lot different than West Virginia as far as
regulations.
I mean, maybe you could go to a rock quarry and be safe to swim.
Right.
You know, like there was a quarry that you could jump off of in Baltimore. So if you wanted to go to this quarry, you could go up there and swim in the quarry, and it was fine, and you could jump off the rocks.
It was fine-ish.
I mean, you know, you get your occasional drowning every month or so, but, you know.
I used to go, when we were a kid, every once in a while, our babysitter would drive us up there in the summertime. We'd go play, we'd go swimming at that place. Because yeah. they had like they had the giant pool, and then the side had the rock
court. Yep.
Which I was always scared, as I heard there was still a machine down there.
Probably was.
A machine?
Yeah, so
yeah like they
the
were
court.
Digging it.
Oh, okay.
But they got so far down, they couldn't get the machine out.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
That is so weird. That guy's from a very small town in Pennsylvania, where one of my good friends is from.
Butler.
Yeah, it's one of the high school,
I know where it is.
High school football capitals of that area.
Maybe that's why.
Putting a good team out every year. They're like all the right moves type of, I don't know if you saw that, Mike, but that area of Western Pennsylvania, it's high school football or death.
I was going to say, what else is there
like,
to
you know,
do?
Like, if your
Steve
team,
played hoops.
You know, people get pissed off if the Seahawks lose a game. They're like, the whole damn town shuts down.
Right.
You know, people are like just
sad. It's a day of mourning.
Friday, you know what I mean? It's awful. It's all they got, man.
And, like, we go to one local place, and at the end of the night, it's like, man, we've been drinking. And you just kind of say to the bartender, like, can you give us a ride home? Yeah, I'll give you an answer.
I mean, think about that. That's the bartender. Like, yeah, all right, I'm just going to lock you in. Let me clean up.
Yeah.
I'll get you home.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
Here's one in the world of rock. Says, I was at a concert, Van Halen, something like that. I'm against the rail on the third floor. David Lee Roth comes out in assless chaps. The crowd goes crazy. The crowd surges. The guy next to me gets pushed over the rail. I see him flip twice before he lands on the sea of heads below.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Then he adds, also saw a stabbing on the way out. That looks like Mr. Van Halen concert.
That doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Stabbing's too much. Hello, Brandon. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So I got drunk and fell in the fire at the family reunion.
Oh, yeah. I remember you.
All right. Yeah.
Oh, was that it?
Oh, hello.
All right. Solid. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Back
into
the point.
There you go. Yeah.
I like that.
Like, you don't need any more details.
No,
family reunion, I'm drunk, there's a fire, I fell in it. That was the whole story. Sadly, it's one of my favorites.
Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK. Guy's a storyteller, though.
Have you ever seen anyone fall into a fire?
No.
I've never seen anyone fall into a fire. And this sounds really bad. I don't want anyone to take this wrong. I would like to see someone fall into a fire. No one in particular. I just think it'd be funny. I know what
I mean, the fire part is the part that scares me.
Well, yeah, I don't want it to be me. That's why I want it to be someone else.
Yeah, and I bet it's a big fire. So I don't know that I've ever seen anybody fall in them.
You ever seen anybody fall a Burning Man? Like, just even putting the structure, I guess the structure's already put.
They're already there by the time we get there.
Okay, yeah. Because those things are like three or four stories, aren't they?
What, the man?
Or whatever they're burning, you know, like if they have two or three things are burning.
Oh, some of them are monsters. Like, right, and some of the big art structures don't get burned. What's it like Wednesday at midnight or Thursday at midnight?
I don't know.
You
burner.
Can see them for miles away because one was a giant ship and then they burned it.
Were you there for that?
I was on top of another structure looking at it from afar.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
When we ask you questions about Burning Man, you answer it like you are a political candidate. Like, there's just enough information to confirm what it is you're asking, but it's very clear that I will offer no more details beyond what you asked. I was on another structure. I saw it from a distance. Yes.
No, that one was huge. I should have been at that one. That's why I kind of answered that way. Okay. But I had been out in Deep Playa during the day, and I was like, I'm tired, man. I'm going to hang by camp.
Mm-hmm. Ah, okay.
The people next to us had a structure. They was like, get up here, Ted. You got to see this.
How tall was it?
Probably like miles saying, like three stores.
Damn. All right.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, Mike, people are requesting that last caller be on the end of the year spectacular.
All right.
That's a great idea.
Got drunk, fell in a fire, family reunion.
All right, we'll put it in the lineup.
There you go.
That's going to be a quick one. Maj, you have to set that one up for a while.
So there's this guy called.
And he gave the perfect story.
It was a family reunion, then a fire, and he fell in.
This is how you tell a story.
If there's any more questions, we'll have, but I really had none.
No.
It's all self-explanatory. Hello, Steven. Welcome to the men's room.
Cocaine and cocaine accessories.
Oh,
So I was working in concrete, and I was putting in this water line. And so we're digging the ditch for the water line. You know, we're digging downhill. So the farther downward hill we get, you know, the deeper the ditches get. And it's about 12 feet tall. And we got, like, no shoring up. Completely illegal. You know, you should not safe at all. And it starts pissing down rain, and, you know, and it's all crap ground, all mud. And I kind of, like, just happened to look up, and I could see dirt starting to fall down. I go, that looks like it's about to give. And so I start trying to run out of there, and that's right when that half of that ditch collapsed on me.
Ooh.
You know, and yeah, a big chunk of it landed on my leg, but, you know, if I wouldn't have been running out of there, it would have, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you guys right now.
That scared the hell out of you?
Oh, yeah, man. I puckered up my butthole, man. Yeah. I got out of there, was cussing my boss out, broke a shovel.
Yeah?
How much damage did it do to you?
It didn't do any, like, permanent damage, but my ankle and my knee was hurting pretty bad for a week.
Yeah, yeah, that's scary as hell. And did the hole almost fill all the way back up with everything that slid into it?
No, it was probably a good, like, 4 feet chunk of dirt fell down, so there's still, you know, another 8 feet of ditch, and it was only, like, one half of it, one side.
And once that happens, is that the end of the workday?
No, we started digging it out again, and you know, I told my boss I wasn't going back down there until, you know, you get some shoring or a coffin box to put down there, and then we had a new guy with us, he's like, I'll go down there, and I was like, oh, no, I think, no, you're not. Like, he needs to just pony up some cash and go get some shoring to make this safe.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, it needed to be upgraded, and you knew that when it came tumbling on top of you.
Yes. Who or what fell on who or what? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Evan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Okay, so this is a good one. When I was 10 years old, I lived in Ireland, the country of Ireland. And just imagine me in the back seat of my mom's car heading to town. And in Ireland, the streets are really narrow. And my mom sees this car double parked on the road, and while we're passing it, we see these guys running out of our local bank with ski masks on, and we're all like, what the hell is going on? This, like, never happens in Ireland. We thought it was, like, Halloween. We're, like, it's way too early for Halloween. We see them holding, like, 2x4s and, like, pipes and stuff. We don't know what it is. Probably because guns are, like, illegal there. And they end up jumping in their car as we're trying to maneuver around them. They're double parked. And they crash into our front fender and drive away, and we realize it was a bank robbery.
Do you know if they ever got caught?
Yeah, so it came out in the newspaper that that because they hit our front fender, they had to steal someone else's car up the road at a local gas station because their car was totaled.
Damn. Okay.
Wow.
That's some crazy stuff.
I've never seen a bank robbery. I mean, you see it all the time on TV. I mean, to the point you don't even think people really wear ski masks. I was in a bank once. I was working at Chi-Chi's, and it's one of those deals where they're like, hey, go across the street and get change or whatever, right? We have an account there, so I'm standing in the business line or whatever. It's probably 30 people in the bank. I mean, it is packed. Two cops come running in out of nowhere. Everyone turns around and looks, and I always remember, cop looks up and she goes, is this bank being robbed? But now we're all looking at each other like, well, I didn't think it was, but I don't know. So then we look at the tellers, then the tellers are looking at each other like, are you being robbed? They're like, no. So the cop looks at her partner like, no. And they left. And we're like, what is that? Is that like a wellness check? Like, what the hell? I mean, flying in, man. Like, is this bank being robbed? Like, we don't think so.
I walked into a bank at South Lake Union. They thought I was a bank robber.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had like three dudes on me in 2 seconds. I was like, what is going on here? Because I look like a bank robber. I have a baseball hat on, I have a backpack on, and I'm a white guy with stubby, you know, facial hair.
Oh, it's so like being a black guy anywhere.
Sunglasses inside?
Yep. I must have just absolutely, you know, looked exactly like who they were looking for. You know what I mean? But I was just like,
well, every bank robber, sunglasses inside, if you're not a rock star, generally is bank robber attire.
It's specifically at a bank.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
It was in the summer. I mean, yeah. I walked into the bank, I had sunglasses on, yeah, the whole deal. It's like, why are you here? I'm going to make a deposit. We need to see an ID. Well, if anyone ever wants to come in here and put money in my account, please don't ask for an ID.
Yeah,
let them put the money in. You know what I mean? If they say they're me and they're giving you money and they want to put it in my account, you let me sign something that says, I hereby let this person deposit any amount of money in my bank account whenever they want. They cannot make a withdrawal. They can only make a deposit.
I always appreciate the security guard at the bank because I get it a lot. You know, can I help you? Like, no. Not being mean. Like, you're a security guard. I'm here for banking purposes. So, like, no.
Do you want to detail me?
Like, no, you cannot help me. So, I just fight. But they get upset. And I'm like, but you asked me a yes or no question, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you work here, but you don't work here in the capacity that I need a bank. So to answer the question you asked me, no. I mean, and again, I'm not being mean. It's just like, no, you can't. Sorry. You know, I mean, if something goes wrong, I will let you know first.
Can you give me a lower interest rate on my mortgage?
Yeah, if the answer is no, like, no. What kind of dumbass question is that?
Who or what fell on who or what? We've got your emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.